Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trublet. With me today, special guest Adam Bennett. He's the student pastor down at Bayou View Baptist Church down in the Gulfport, Mississippi area. So we're glad to have Adam. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem.
So tell everybody a little bit about your church, about yourself, and so they can kind of get to know who you are.
Okay, yeah. Like you said, I'm at Bayou View Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi. I have been the pastor to students here for over 9 years, so I'm in my 10th year. I've been married for almost 10 years to Becky Bennett, and yeah, so I've been this was my first church, so this is the first time I've ever been a pastor, and this is the only church, so yeah, working on my 10th.
I love it, man. So 10 years, coming up on 10 years anyway. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you've been married for right at that amount of time too.
For 2 years. For two.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I heard 10. So a couple questions just off of that. How long, so you've been at the first church that you went to, started out in ministry, went to Bayou View, been there nearly 10 years. How many years in did it take you for you to think, okay, things are clicking. I've got a system going. Things are kind of moving the way that I thought they would. Has that happened? How long did it take for it to kind of settle in?
It's funny because you mentioned that, because every year, this is kind of the way I put it to someone just recently, is every year I put together a game plan. And, you know, I take that off of the years of experience or what we did last year or something. And my parents' meetings and my student leader meetings, and we put together a game plan. But then something always happens. You know, a new group of students come in, or the seniors who just left. It changes the dynamic of the group, or the sixth graders that come up, the middle schoolers that go up into the high school. It just sometimes changes the dynamic. Sometimes not that much, and we can go on as usual. But sometimes it changes so much that I sometimes have to kind of scrap parts of the game plan and kind of have to start anew, and we kind of have to redirect and re-go. But if we have a clear vision, if we know what we're doing at the base, then usually those kind of changes can happen better, easier, yeah. And you can make those changes.
Great. Well, let me ask you another question, just because I think there are some things just in introduction as you talk about kind of your history a little bit that would be really, really valuable for our listeners. So you were in student ministry for right around 8 years and then got married and have been now married for 2 years. So talk about the transition of going from single student pastor now to married student pastor.
Well, man, I haven't thought about that too much. I think one thing, it's been great to be married and being a pastor. My wife really cares for me. She takes care of me, and she. One thing has changed that when I'm going on Sundays and Wednesdays, she is very kind to me and loving to me, and she understands that that's been a long day. And man, she'll sometimes have dinner waiting for me here. She'll just know that she needs to help me. And, yeah. You know, and that's just a great thing to have. And I try not to burden her with a lot of the things. She reminds me when I'm sinning and complaining. So it's a great thing. It's great to have someone there to bounce things off of. And so that's just been great to have someone there in your corner that you can constantly be talking to. And she also knows your heart.
Yeah.
And so that has been, she's been actually a great asset to me and my spiritual life and to my ministry that I didn't have necessarily as a single man. But as a single man, I also had other pastors and I had to look for some of those things in other places. But having a wife, honestly, has been a great gift from the Lord.
That's awesome, man. Great to hear. And you can make sure you have your wife listen to this episode so you can earn some extra points there with her. No, that's great to hear. Well, the real main topic that we wanted to talk about today, I met Adam, and I guess it's been about a year ago now, maybe a little longer than that, at a retreat that I was speaking at. And we just had a chance to talk. And Adam talked about his passion for expository preaching and how he was doing that in his student ministry and just his view on how students need to hear and take in God's word. And so I thought that this would be a great topic for you, other student ministry leaders, to kind of hear from Adam, who's in the trenches and doing student ministry every day, has long tenure at a single church, and just talk about what expository preaching means to him and the difference that it's made in his ministry specifically. So that's going to be the main topic of our podcast today as we dive into it. So Adam, just as we begin, just like with any of these, you know, ministerial words and terms, like we just recorded an episode recently with a guy named Michael Kelly about discipleship, and we took a minute just to pause and say, here's the definition of discipleship. And so I would do that same thing with expository preaching. So just kind of an elementary, like back of the napkin style definition, what is expository preaching to you?
Sure. It's simply, I just say it's exposing God's word to God's people. It's making the point of the passage of scripture, the point of the message that you're speaking to your audience. Just as simple as that.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Exposing God's word to God's people. That is a perfect working definition. So talk about how you do that in your student ministry, because I, you know, haven't talked to you just in a little amount of time that we did there at the retreat, and then through some emails between now and then. I know that like this just isn't something that you do in student ministry. It's a deep-seated passion for you. So like, let's talk about first, we'll get to the how in just a minute, but let's talk about how did this become a passion for you? Like what happened in your life that said, this is the way that God has put in my heart to teach students?
Well, it happened in that I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and I grew up in the regular Bible studies, Sunday school under the I guess regular preaching, I suppose. And when I went off to college, I was faced with a lot of different questions, and I was faced with a lot of different battles, you know, and a lot of different points of view and whatnot. In fact, there was one point where I was even faced with basically a cult religion kind of literally came to my rental house door. Wow. And I really didn't even know how to refute. They started talking about the Trinity, and they were like, you know, the Trinity isn't in the Bible. And I'm like, I didn't know that. And, you know, just, and I realized that I knew a lot about Moses and Noah and Abraham and Jesus and Paul, but, you know, there was something lacking in my knowledge. And so that kind of began my journey. Just personally in saying, okay, first of all, I need to understand why I believe what I believe, kind of an apologetics journey. But then that kind of led to, I really need to be looking at scripture differently in that when I'm teaching scripture, I need to always, when I'm responding to people, I need to be able to point to scripture. I need to be filtering what I'm saying and how I'm responding to people with scripture. And that came from, when I was at Mississippi State, part of what I did before I actually came on as a pastor at a church, I was an intern with Campus Crusade for Christ at Mississippi State. And in order to be around atheists, I wanted to be around atheists. So I actually joined the atheist club there at Mississippi State. And, you know, better place than never. And so I joined that club just so I could be around them and engage them. And what I did is I made a point to always respond to them with scripture. And also I had a man who discipled me in college, a man named Randy Phillips. And he made it a point to always teach us scripture and to teach us the meaning of scripture and never take scripture out of context. And so just all that kind of led to just my desire to never just say something and say, okay, this is righteousness and this is God's goodness, and to never not have God's word to be prominent in those teachings. And so what I wanted my students, so when I came on here at BioView, they asked me a question that I never really thought about because I'd never been a pastor to students. They asked me what my philosophy was in student ministry.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him, I said, honestly, I've never really thought about a philosophy. Probably not the best answer to say in a job interview, but
they still hired you. So that's That's good.
Yeah. But I said, listen, what I do know is that I know how I was deficit personally going into college. And what I want is I want to make disciples, and I want to fill these students' minds and their heads up with as much knowledge of God's word. So when they go off to college, they are prepared. They are equipped for the word and for the world. And I knew that if I was going to do that, I was going to have to teach as much of God's word as possible. And so that meant part of which expository preaching.
Yeah, that's great. So when you first joined the Atheist Club, did they accept you, or were they like, okay, we're going to convince this guy that he's wrong? Like, what was that like? Because I think there might be some things there that maybe we as church leaders could say, oh, well, if they accept or whatever, then maybe we can. Sometimes churches aren't the most accepting of environments.
Right.
What was it like in that club?
They were. I actually called them before I came, told them that I wanted to come to their club, and I'm a Christian. He asked me if I could be there and not cause trouble or anything. I said, sure. And at first I didn't say much at all. And then he said, you know, you can talk. We didn't invite you here just to be silent. And I said, fine. And I made it a point to never say anything unless I had God's word. And so that anything that I said could always be said, this is what Christians believe about the Bible. And that way they can never really argue with me too much. And so I was never in really much of a debate.
Yeah.
And I had good relationships with them. In fact, at the end of the year, I had their get together, their last final get together for the year at my house.
Huh.
And I had some of them are still my friends on Facebook, and we communicate. And this is over 10 years ago. And I had one guy said to me, he said that, that if his daughters, he wished them to be atheists. but actually he said that if they became Christians, he hopes that they become Christians like me. Huh. And I told him, well, I hope that they become Christians. I was very clear about the gospel with them, and I never held back, and they knew that. But I think they respected me for it, and they still come to me when they have questions about Christians or something.
Man, that's really cool. You know, one more question, and then we'll get back to the expository preaching side of things.
Sure.
When you were at Mississippi State, did you own a cowbell?
I did own a cowbell. Someone gave it to me. I'm kind of an enigma here in Mississippi. I grew up an Ole Miss fan, went to Mississippi State to study engineering. God called me to be in some sort of ministry while I was there. And so I changed that direction from engineering, but I stayed at Mississippi State anyway. and so I didn't get along too well, but I still had friends.
That's good. So going through the college experience and learning kind of the why behind your faith led you to this point where you're now at a church, they've hired you, you've said, I want to disciple students and I want to get God's word in them, and maybe kind of fast forward their spiritual or biblical literacy a little bit faster than what you experienced growing up.
Right.
So how do you do that in your student ministry? Like, how does it flesh out on a weekly basis for you?
Expository preaching is primary. We want to make sure that one of the things that we do in our meetings, we probably get the students together for two small groups and then two large groups sessions, one for just the students and then maybe one corporate worship with the church. And in two of those, we're going to be doing preaching, one with the students and then one corporately with the church. And then in two of those small groups, we're going to be doing some of the small group curriculum. And yeah. So in those things, we're going to be looking at things. We're going to be looking at curriculum that are going to be studying more things like systematic theology. And we're going to be going through other types of Bible studies. And so we want them to understand things systematically, thematically, and topically. And so we want them to understand those types of things and be able to think biblically about those things. But we also want them to understand God's word and how to read God's word and study God's word. And we believe that that's one thing that expository preaching also does in instruction, not just also in teaching, but it also helps God's people understand how to read God's word and study God's word.
Yeah. So you mentioned there, and I think this is an important thing for people to catch in that answer, as you mentioned the corporate worship as one of the things where expository preaching happens. And I would guess that if your situation as a student pastor is like many others, that's not a service that you control. And so how much of this and the effectiveness that you've seen in your ministry is due to maybe your senior pastor being on the same page with you at the heart of expository preaching, not just in the student ministry, but as the whole church?
Well, I feel like I'm in a very specific instance here where I came in with this mindset, and it was by the Lord's providence that the senior pastor here, who had been here for about a year, he also had a similar mindset.
Yeah.
Actually, we were on the same wavelength when it comes to this. And I think that was just the Lord's doing. And I came in and this is the way I wanted to preach. This is the way he preached. In fact, how I was introduced to him was that I was actually looking for a church that did expository preaching, partly.
Okay.
And I actually wasn't even looking to be a pastor to students. And someone encouraged me to be a pastor to students here at this church. And I initially said no. And then they said, no, you should go do that. And I said, fine. I'll go and talk to them. I'll tell them who I am, and this is the way I'd like to make disciples. And it just so happened that we were walking in step, and so we just happened to be in step on these things. So it works.
Yes, same pastor still there, I assume.
Yeah. We've all been, all three of us, there are three pastors here, and we've all been here for 10 plus years.
Okay, talk about what that's like. For all three of your leadership team pastors there, all really being on the journey together for the last 10 years. That's a really rare experience, I think, in church world today, where Yep. You guys all came kind of at the same time, and now it's fast forward 10 years later. So I guess let me put the question this way to stay on topic. Talk about how the last 10 years of this expository teaching and preaching, I'll say teaching and preaching now because you mentioned you choose curriculum based off of the same idea. Talk about the differences that you've seen in the church as a whole over the last 10 years as you guys have walked in step with this together.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've seen in the difference in the church is that our members desire the sufficiency of Scripture in what we do. And so everything that we do, they want to filter through. Well, where does that say in Scripture? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing missions? Or what should we be doing in corporate worship? So let's go back to, we mentioned corporate worship earlier. Are we praying? You know, it mentions in Scripture about praying. Should we be praying? Well, yeah. What about our music and what are we singing? You know, one of the pastors here is he basically leads our corporate worship singing, and he handles a lot of our music. And so what songs are we singing? Well, we filter that through the sufficiency of Scripture. You know, are they scripturally rich? Are they teaching sound theology that then we can go back to Scripture and say, this is what Scripture actually teaches? And so, and then also other things like evangelism and outreach. Are we doing those things? Because Scripture teaches us to do those things. Because we've been teaching Scripture, well, then if we've taught that, then we should be doing that. And then recently we've changed some things about our membership policies here at our church. Well, that didn't just come because we wanted to just change some things about the roles or anything like that. But that came from teaching through 1st and 2nd Corinthians and seeing what the church is and the definition of the church. And so when our membership started to see what exactly from preaching, from seeing the word, they started to see those things and they started to say, hey, there are some things that need to change in our practice. And there are some things that need to change in, say, things that can be changed, like bylaws and and constitutions and things like that that we can change because the word cannot be changed.
Yeah, man, that's great. So as you teach and motivate church members, students of all ages, hey, these are the things that we're called to do as believers, the evangelism, the outreach, the, you know, making disciples of other, that replication piece of discipleship. All of that is rooted in, hey, this is what scripture teaches, so this is what we go do. I want to make sure that our listeners notice that, because those are all things that student pastor that, you know, we always talk about, like how we need to motivate students and teach them to go and make disciples, you know, the Great Commission, and to share the gospel with their friends, and to live a certain way, and to be holy as Jesus is holy. But then it just stops there, or maybe there's an illustration, or maybe a couple of passages thrown in. But I think what's important to recognize here, and what's so great about an expository approach of showing what God's word says to God's people, revealing God's word to God's people, is that that becomes the motivation. It's not right. The pastor, it's not the parent, though those things are good motivations, but it still falls short of the authority of God's word. And so, man, really, I love what you're doing, because you are instilling in people that God's word is the authority.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And that way, one day, if I'm not here, or Chris isn't here, or Michael, that way, if someone else comes in here and they teach the same way, man, we are replaceable. And that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, man, that's, we could do a whole podcast on what you just said, because I think sometimes we drift into building ministries that are very focused on the leader and the person, whereas the type of ministry that you mentioned, Chris, I assume he's your pastor,
yeah,
that you guys are building is such that it is sustainable after you leave, which is a much healthier way to approach ministry. So let's talk now about what you've seen. So in your student ministry specifically happen as a result of just continuing to point students to God's word over and over and over. Because I think, you know, as people listen, they're probably going, okay, you talked about the how, and that curriculum choices are based on showing God's word, revealing God's word to God's people, that the preaching is walking through books of the Bible and saying, hey, this is scripture, this is what it means. So talk about what you've seen happen in the lives of your students as a result of this approach to ministry.
Okay. So what I normally do, and this is when the students get together in our large group, and this is when I do expository preaching, and like I said, and there, most of what I do is I go through books of the Bible. So every year I'll pick a book of the Bible, be it Ephesians or Philippians or some other book. This year I'm actually going through the book of Mark. And
okay,
I'll go through.
Let me ask you a question real quick on that.
Sure. Sure.
You spend the whole year in Mark, or how will you break that up?
Yeah, this year I'm actually biting off a lot this year with the book of Mark. Yeah, but this year I'll spend the entire year in the book of Mark. And I've trained our students that's just kind of the way we do. We'll spend I'll spend an entire year in the book of Philippians. Obviously, I'm going a lot slower in there. In the book of Mark, I'm we're going a bit faster.
Yeah. So is that will that be fleshed out in your small group moments too, or is that it just in the preaching environment that you have where you'll spend the year in that book?
That's just in the preaching environment. Okay. At least in our context. There have actually been years that we've also had the small group moment where we've actually then also discussed the sermon also in small groups.
Right.
So that's just another way that you can take a preaching, an expository preaching ministry, and then also have small groups. And okay. So there's many ways that you can actually have expository preaching ministry in your ministry, and then also have these other elements involved. And so there's just, in one sense, there's not just one way to do it. And so this is just kind of how we're doing it right now, this year, with this particular large group. But like I said, we go through this every year, and we go verse by verse. And sometimes like right now, I'm going through what I'm calling the seed series, because we're going through the parable of the soils. And then after that, Jesus goes into more parables about seeds. And so sometimes I'll break up a book in smaller bits of series to kind of help the students kind of encapsulate those things, but also keeping those within the grand context of the entire book.
Okay, so I think that's another good point for people to hear right there, because there may be some who are listening going, man, a whole year in Mark with your students or a whole year in Philippians with your students, that seems like a really, really long time. Yeah. And I think it's important to understand the strategic thing that you just mentioned is that you take the book and you split it up into smaller series throughout the way. So you may be in Mark all year and your students know that you're in Mark all year, but there still is a feeling of newness with a new series. It doesn't catch the monotony that I think some people might hear when they hear Philippians all year.
Right, exactly. And so I've definitely done that. And, you know, just to help with the students understand, okay, this is because Paul makes, like, say, if we're talking about Philippians, Paul makes different arguments throughout his book of Philippians. He's not making the same argument in his entire book.
Yeah.
And so we can help students understand that by breaking those things up in series and to help their minds understand, okay, this is an argument or this is a piece and this is a piece, but it works within the larger scope of Paul's letter to the Philippians.
That's great. So talk more about that is some awesome how stuff. And some really, really good takeaways for student pastors. And as you follow that pattern, like you mentioned to me, some students as a part of your ministry took the approach that you're doing and have actually started implementing that themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we've had over the years some students who have been asked to speak at different things. Like they've been asked by an FCA director at their high school or something to speak at a Bible study, or maybe they've been another Bible study or campus ministry and they've been asked. And one of the things that I noticed is that when they get up to speak, then other students will get up and to speak. The way our students would approach their time, it was very different. they would actually take a passage of scripture and they would start reading it, and then they would start explaining the passage of scripture to the other students. And I've noticed that this was done really without instruction from me or anything. There were some times where I didn't even know they were speaking. I was like, hey, you didn't even tell me that you were speaking at FCA today. You know? And they were like, yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that was great, man. I'm so glad you did that. And what I realized is that this is something that we could actually start doing and giving more students a platform to teach God's word. And because also it was another thing is that our church, a lot of times I would ask people to teach or something and finding people who would want to teach, sometimes an excuse be given was, well, that's not my thing, or I'm not comfortable teaching. And I'm like, man, you know, we got a lot of adults who are not comfortable teaching. Well, instead of me being frustrated with that, well, why don't we just train up a whole new generation of people who can preach and teach the Bible? And so what we decided to do is we started a new campus ministry at our local high school here in Gulfport. And I'm not really good with names, so we just called it Baptist Campus Ministry. And
so, man, I'm the same way with names. It's so hard.
And so we started this ministry and we tried a few different things. And what seemed that the students really kind of gravitated towards is when their friends would come to these weeks where their other friends would be teaching the Bible. And so the second year we did this, I decided that what we would do is we would make every week a what we would call student speaker week. And so what I started doing is we developed a student leadership, and I trained them how to take scripture, how to observe it, how to interpret it, apply it, and then put together a small 10 to 12 minute little sermon, really, a Bible study, and then gave them a platform in the mornings to teach it to that group. And then I gave them the task of recruiting more students, more Christians in their school who would also want to learn how to do that. And so far, we have, including them, we have over a dozen students who are learning how to study God's word and preach God's word. And we're doing that every single morning, not every morning, every week at our local high school.
I think that's the greatest thing in the world. So you're actually in your public high school teaching students how to preach through the club that you guys started.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. I mean, it's an official club on campus. So we went through the legal channels.
Yeah.
And we are an official club. We have a teacher sponsor and we have student leaders. I am there through their invitation. And I meet with these students and train them off campus. But yeah, we meet and we're there teaching God and preaching God's word right there on campus.
Man, that is absolutely incredible. So say to the listeners, you know, you've been at this. I think it's a good reminder for people that you've been at this for nearly 10 years. So somebody that's listening to the podcast and thinks, man, I'm going to go start a club tomorrow and begin to do this right away. This has been a long process for you to get this type of ministry philosophy into the culture of your students, into the culture of your church as a whole. So overnight, people may not be able to reproduce what you're doing, but give some simple, like if somebody's saying, okay, how do I begin to bring a more expository approach to my student ministry? Give some simple steps in how somebody can begin to do that.
Well, first, let me start with 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, be diligent. And that's a very important word, diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Man, and let that last phrase almost put you in fear. You know, every time I step forward in front of people to teach them the word, I think to myself, am I accurately handling this word of truth? And I tell my students, the ones that I trained at the high school, we need to accurately handle this. And so, but also diligence. Every week, you know, diligently study the word, diligently preaching, diligently training. You know, like I said, my students, they weren't immediately like, woohoo, we love expository preaching. No, that's not a thing that's a thing that comes with time, that people learn to love God's word. Because God's people love God's word.
Yeah.
And if we give them God's word, they learn to love it. And if all we give them is Happy Meals, well, then they think that they love Happy Meals. But the minute we start giving them, you know, steak, and we make that the regular diet, you know, all of a sudden they're like, man, what was I doing with Happy Meals? You know, and
yeah.
And I just say, be diligent and just constantly just be giving it to them and just constantly teach them God's word. And maybe it starts with one. Maybe you have one student, two students. Man, that is great. Be good with just that one. You know, he who's faithful with a very little thing will also be faithful with much. And so just be faithful with what God has given you and just be diligent with that little thing.
I think those are great, wise words in how to implement not just an expository preaching philosophy or type of approach to teaching God's word to students, but just student ministry in general, to be diligent in the things that God has called you to do, to be faithful with where he's placed you right now and with the ones that he's given you right now. And that ministry as a whole isn't something that happens overnight. Healthy ministry takes time. Healthy ministry takes diligence. It's measured in years rather than weeks or months. And so I think that's a great, great word, Adam. I want to thank you for taking time to to jump on the podcast with us today and share about your heart for ministry, your heart for students, for your church, and to give some really, really good stuff for student ministry leaders that are listening to the podcast to really think through and begin to implement in their own ministry. So thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. We're going to wrap right there. Thank you for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. If you haven't yet, head over to iTunes, leave that rating and review. We love to hear from you. Feedback on this episode as well as feedback for the podcast in general. We are here to serve you and provide you with student ministry content that hopefully you can take and begin to think through and apply in your own ministries. So head over there, tell us what you think. Connect with us on Twitter at Ben Trueblood. And Adam, what's a way that people can connect with you through social media if they want to take this conversation outside the podcast?
It's at the Adam S. Bennett.
There you go. So connect with Adam. Feel free to shoot him questions, shoot me questions. Give us some more topics that you want to hear us talk about on the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.